For that, Jim O'Callaghan joins me, a Minister for Justice and Fianna Fáil TD, of course, as well. Minister, you're welcome to the show. What can you tell me about this flight with 35 people on board that took off for Nigeria overnight?
Well, thanks, Ciarán. Obviously, as you're aware, since the government's come into power, this is the third deportation flight that has taken place. It left Dublin Airport last night. There were 35 people on board, 23 men, 7 women, 5 children. They were all part of 2 families. And it landed safely this morning in Lagos in Nigeria. Listen, this is a part of the job that's not particularly pleasant, but it is an important function that I have to fulfil as Minister for Justice. We welcome very many people into Ireland every year, whether they come in on work visas or whether they come in by way of the asylum process. But if people aren't entitled to stay, and if there's a deportation order made against them, there has to be a consequence to that. My preference would be that they'd leave voluntarily, but in circumstances where somebody has received a deportation order, hasn't left voluntarily, the state will enforce it and they'll be forced to leave.
How long had these two families been in Ireland?
I don't have details in terms of the individuals who are concerned. Like, I don't get information about who's been chosen, Ciarán. It's not like a situation where I'll decide who goes or who doesn't go. So I don't have that level of information. But they were all people in respect of whom deportation orders had been served upon them. They had all gone through the asylum process. They'd applied for asylum. They'd been refused asylum. They'd appealed. They'd been refused on appeal. And ultimately, they hadn't complied with the terms of the deportation order.
I'm just conscious, and listen, you don't know the detail, but I guess what I was getting at was the possibility that, you know, children are being deported who may be, I know, legally speaking, they've no right to be here, and you've got to have a system, and hard cases, you know, make bad law and all of that, notwithstanding. They might know no other country but Ireland, really.
Well, sorry, the people responsible for that are their parents who allowed them to be here and to remain here in circumstances when they weren't entitled to be here. So, like, I'm not going to feel, I know you're not suggesting this, I don't feel guilty about that. It's not a very pleasant function I have to fulfil. But what I can't do What I can't do is allow a situation develop whereby if somebody who has a deportation order has children, well, then they're immune from any deportation process. That would just encourage everyone to come who had children, and we could do nothing in response to it.
Yeah, but are we not failing those children by having a system that takes so long to work through that it gets to a point that they do only know this country, and then we send them off to a strange country?
Well, I certainly agree with you that we need to speed up the process. And that's, I think I've been on the show before talking to you about how I'm introducing legislation to achieve that objective so that the asylum process is not, as it is now, dragging on for 2-3 years, but it'll be completed within hopefully 3 months in most instances. So it certainly is much fairer to have a fast system. But in circumstances where the system is as it is at present, and probably the people who were on that flight, I suspect they were probably here for 2 to 3 years or so. That's the average length in terms of going through the process from the beginning. Certainly in respect of that length of time, I can't turn around and say, okay, listen, because it's taken 2 to 3 years, that there can't be any consequence that people are allowed to stay. If we're going to adopt that attitude, we might as well get rid of the whole asylum process and just say to everyone, you can all stay.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone is, and I certainly wasn't. What I was suggesting is maybe a quicker process, but I appreciate the point. You and I have had that conversation before, and that's ultimately the plan. In terms of deportation orders, we know it had a big increase last year, kind of close to a 200% increase, and there's been a large number as well signed this year. What's generally the consequence of those deportation orders? I mean, what's the information you have or the data in terms of how many people then leave voluntarily, how many people have to be forcefully deported, as it were? How many people slip back over the border into the north? Do we know all of that?
Well, we have information in terms of enforced deportations, and we have information in terms of, I suppose, voluntary returns. Like, in terms of up to the end of May, we're looking at a total of about 830 people who have left the country this year as a result of voluntary returns or enforced deportations. Now, that doesn't take into account the deportations today or other individuals. So, listen, it is more more effective, I suppose, than it was previously. But ultimately, there has to be respect for the law. And if somebody is served with a deportation order, there has to be a consequence to it. In the first instance, the obligation is on the individual to remove themselves. If they don't do that, we will try to assist them to leave voluntarily. If they don't do that, there'll be an enforced deportation.
What percentage of people are unaccounted for after a deportation order is signed?
Well, already this year, we have issued about, I think it's 1,940 deportation orders. So in terms of the numbers, I suppose, that have been removed this year, you're talking about 830. The advice I get in the department is that if you have a deportation order served upon you, it is difficult for you to remain here because you don't get any of the benefits of local services. You don't get the benefit of, in terms of social services, social protection. So it's difficult. It's also extremely difficult to continue to work here. You'd have to work in the black market. So listen, there has to be compliance with it. People can try to stay here in terms of a deportation order on them, but they should be aware that, you know, the system is becoming more effective, and the likelihood is that if you don't leave voluntarily, you will be caught up with, and people will be forced to leave.
Is that an important part of this as well, the optics of it? I'm not suggesting that's the only function of these flights. Ultimately, it's to enforce an order of the court, an order you've signed. But it's that there is an optics element to it, is there? It's important that people see that we enforce deportation orders.
I think it is important, and I think people need to be able to see that we have an effective and consequential asylum system. Listen, as I said, there are many people who come to Ireland, claim asylum. We're a very generous country. People are granted asylum, they're integrated, and they stay. But there has to be a consequence for people who come here, claim asylum, and are not entitled to stay. And I think if the message is out there that, listen, there is a consequence, if you get a deportation order, it's going to be enforced against you, I think that will have an impact in deterring people coming here who know they're not entitled to asylum but may have decided, actually, listen, I'll go and apply for asylum in Ireland anyway, because if I don't get it, they're not effective in removing people.
Can I ask what your response is to those in Sagart and Rathcoole who oppose the state buying City West?
Well, listen, people are entitled to protest and make their views known, provided it's done peacefully. The policy of the government, and I'm leading on this policy, is I'm trying to move away from circumstances where we are renting accommodation in the commercial sector. It's costing far too much money. That's renting accommodation for the purpose of housing international protection applicants. It's costing far too much money. And I also think that the provision of services is inconsistent. We'd be in a much better position if the state owned its accommodation. And the intention that I have is to try to create a situation where the state will own approximately 14,000 spaces for people who are going through the asylum process. I'm not going to comment about what's going to happen in respect of any one location, Kieran, particularly in circumstances when I haven't got approval of government and I haven't even brought a memorandum to government in respect of purchasing areas.
The point of protest is to be disruptive, and people absolutely have a right to do it. At the same time, there were some suggestions in this group protesting yesterday that every week they're going to seek to bring the N7 to a halt. Now, it's the busiest road, busiest national road in the country. I mean, at a certain point, there'd have to be intervention to clear them off the road, wouldn't there? If they do it every week?
First of all, can I just say to you, like, my decision on any issue when it comes to purchasing a property for the purpose of accommodating international protection applicants will not be affected by protests, whether they be lawful or unlawful. That's the first thing. Secondly, I was out in Blanchardstown Garda Station today.
Was it not the protests in and around Crown Paints that caused the U-turn on that decision?
No. Can I just say to you, in terms of, I was out in Blanchardstown today, and when I was out there, I got a briefing from the excellent Gardaí out there in terms of the City West protest. The Gardaí are in control of it. People are entitled to protest, as I say, irrespective of what their political views are. But certainly when it comes to me fulfilling my function as Minister for Justice with responsibility for migration, I'm not going to be swayed by, you know, who has the loudest protest.
Final question on this, and I appreciate, you know, you're not going to be kind of au fait with all of the arguments and the talking points of the people manning these barricades, as it were. But One woman yesterday suggested that there's been this huge increase in crime, and you would have heard me mentioning these kind of men migrants in the park filming children. When I put it to her that Drew Harris has been, you know, quite unequivocal on this, that there is absolutely no evidence between migrants moving into an area and a correlating increase in crime. She suggested, and she's a local councillor who ran for Independent Ireland in the local election, that we should disbelieve Drew Harris when he says those things. What's your response to that?
I would believe the commissioner with the greatest of respect. And also, like, the information, let's look at the statistics on this. And I'm, you know, there should be more statistics on the information I get statistically is that there's no higher percentage of the migrant community in prison than there is in the community as a whole. And like, that's indicative that, you know, we don't just have one section of the community that's committing crime. So listen, people are going to make arguments for their own political agenda. I think any argument that anyone makes has to be grounded on statistics. And certainly when it comes to the commissioner's analysis, I'd accept his point.
You mentioned prison there. So before you go, I know you have this plan, 1,000 extra prison spaces by 2030. Is that going to include a new prison or additional space in the prisons we have?
Well, my plan is to, and again, can I just say, like, I'm not somebody who just believes we need to just increase prison space for the sake of increasing it. Like, the prison capacity has not increased very much since 2011. It's increased by about 4%. Our population has increased probably by 16, 17%. I'm going to see a situation, I want to see a situation between now and, say, 2031, that we're going to add approximately 1,500 new spaces. Okay. And on top of that, there will also be, and it's in the programme for government, that we will seek to develop a new prison as well. New prisons take a long time. I don't have that time, Kieran. There are overcrowding issues in Irish prisons. There was 134 new spaces added last year, 100 this year. The prisons are doing a very good job. Clover Hill's going to add 190 shortly, Castlereagh 68. And I got approval from Cabinet and from a friend, Jack Chambers, recently to manage to sort of circumvent the public sector spending code for the purpose of expediting the building of six other prison projects. And I'm going to be able to knock 12 to 18 months off those projects because I've managed to get around that.